Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and
you are listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
Another edition of My Darkest Hour. I'm your host, Stefan Brigati, and thank you for joining me on this great Thursday evening. Hopefully you guys are out there somewhere safe, somewhere warm, so to speak. I know there's a lot of cold fronts out there. Even here in sunny California, it is raining and really cold. I know you guys are thinking, wow, rain in California, that's a trip. Yeah, it's one of those things. We get it from time to time, and I'm glad we got it, and totally appreciate it. Tonight on my show, I have Becky Vickers, and really excited to have her on the show. She is based out of Lake Dallas, Texas area, and you can check out a lot of her stuff on BexGhostHunters.com. That is her site for paranormal things. She is the author of The Secrets of Goatman's Bridge, True Tales of Chilling Paranormal Encounters at One of the Most Haunted Bridges in America, and Amazing Paranormal Encounters, Volume 4. It came out in 2017. A lot of those who follow the show, and I have a really big following in the Texas area, of course, so you know I spend a lot of time in Texas when I can, due to my son living out there and him and his wife have a nice house and everything. We talk about Goatman Bridge because I've met my daughter-in-law's brothers who all grew up in the area and have done a lot of things out there and experienced many things, which I'm very fascinated about. So I'm great to have her on the show and talk a little bit about Goatman Bridge. She'll know a lot because she used to be running the tours over there and talking about that. She's also been featured on Ghost Adventures Halloween Special Route 666 and My Ghost Stories, as well as being a public paranormal figure who's out there speaking and talking at the paracons and different events that come up. And of course, she's been on lots of radio and media events. So let's go ahead and bring her on the show and get the show started and find out a little bit more about what's happening with Becky. Hi, Becky. You out there?
Hi, Stefan. How are you?
I am absolutely fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Very cool. So I was just telling the listeners and stuff about Goatman Bridge, and I'm glad that you're very experienced with the knowledge of that bridge as well. But one thing I like to do when I have everybody on my show is I like to talk about how they got involved with the paranormal, because everyone has their certain story and your story might relate to somebody. So if you can give us a little bit of background on how you started with the paranormal.
Of course. Well, it was quite a while back. I was 16, and I lost my grandfather due to complications of a triple bypass. And it was very sudden. He actually made it through the triple bypass, and this has been many, many years ago. And but he passed away during the night. And at 16, this man was my gentle giant and savior of all saviors. He was just the sweetest person, and I just could not deal with it. I mean, everybody deals with death in different ways, but for me, I just could not let him go. It's like, I'm not ready for this. How can I still keep in touch with him? I need him here. So I just started reading anything and everything that I could about how to communicate with the dead and afterlife, and started out very simple stuff, you know, sitting in the cemeteries with a little, at that time, a tape recorder that had a little cassette in it. And it just kind of grew from there, and it just became an extreme passion of mine. And still today, I'm out sitting in cemeteries in the middle of the night. But pretty much that's how it got started.
Interesting. So this all started with the death of your grandfather? Is that what that is?
Yes. That was a long story to get to, yes, when my grandfather passed away. Yes. I developed a strong interest.
Okay. So did you have any connections with anything spiritual before that, or was your grandfather just the first one that kind of locked you in that direction?
That was it. You know, I grew up, my dad was always big into Halloween. So we would do all the like seance kind of stuff, and he was the kind of guy that would, you know, string up the chairs in the attic and have a chain and pull them and, you know, scare the crap out of all the neighborhood kids and all of that sort of stuff. But as far as even knowing about spirits or ghosts or any of that, I knew nothing. I knew nothing until his death and when I started reading and realizing that other people were still able to communicate and get signs. This is something I wanted to explore.
Very cool. So when you started going out, when you like you said, you know, a lot of us start out, we're hanging out in cemeteries, we're hanging out in old creepy buildings and stuff like that. Were you taking different types of equipment to try experiments? Like, everybody's watching the TV shows, and hopefully one thing that people get out of the TV shows is learning about the equipment and doing their testing on the equipment, because it's, you want to know your gear when you're out in the real world testing it out. But so was there a certain piece of equipment that you started using when you were doing the paranormal investigations?
You know what? Sometimes simple is better. I mean, there is a lot of fancy stuff these days, a lot of, you know, stuff that has the light and the sound, which is amazing, because when you're doing video, you know, it helps validate different things because you can see it. But back when I was growing up and just learning, I was doing super simple stuff. My favorite thing, of course, was the cassette recorder, because I would get EVPs in a cemetery or, you know, just at an old creepy house, and I would hear a voice and hear full-on sentences, you know. And a lot of times, Stefan, I went by myself, you know, because at that time it wasn't popular and it wasn't cool to be in the paranormal. It was very uncool. It was like people didn't understand and they thought you were weird, and I'm not hanging out with that girl, man. So, I would do the simple stuff, like ask that you pick a picture in your house and you ask that it be tilted just a little bit, offset by whomever you're trying to communicate with, doing stuff like that and actually seeing that come to fruition. The baby powder, dusting the baby powder, you know, in a place where there's no draft and seeing that something has moved, you know, just super simple stuff like that. But it was just amazing to me when I could play back on the little cassette recorder of actually responses to my questions, you know, are you here? And I would hear yes. And man, it just sucked me right in about, oh my God, there really may be something else out there and still a way to communicate with your loved ones or someone that's passed.
Absolutely. I mean, and I don't see if there is any real reason why our world and their world can't be communicating a little bit better, because it's just a thin veil between the existence of what we consider to be physical and then the non-physical world. So I think it gets easier and easier, and sometimes you're absolutely correct. A simple recorder, you don't need to have all the fancy stuff. That's all great. I mean, a lot of people that follow me on the shows and see the stuff I do, I've got lots of equipment, but I'm trying different things and trying to explain things as I'm trying, testing them out to see what works better. Because just like you said, sometimes just a simple recorder and a camera is fine. A lot of people don't even realize even using Polaroid, the old school cameras are really good because they're light sensitive and you can pick up a lot of different variances in the room.
Absolutely. And, you know, they brought back Kodak brought back a simpler form of the shoot and print camera. You know, you used to be able to load up the big, heavy cartridges and could take a picture and it would develop right there. And they have brought that back, which I love because I think that's a great tool. I'm like you. I have all the fancy stuff and I love it. Don't get me wrong. It's amazing. When your REM pod goes off or on your SLS cam, you know, you capture something. That's super cool. But sometimes for somebody just starting out that doesn't, you know, you and I both know it takes a lot of money to invest in the equipment, and sometimes it's very expensive. And so somebody that just wants to communicate maybe with their loved one like I did with my grandfather starting out, start simple. Man, get a flashlight, you know, one of the little twisty flashlights that you get at Walmart or somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And, get a recorder or a digital camera, just something so simple and go for it and see what happens.
That's true. You got to start using what you can afford and what you can find. I got all that fancy equipment, but I wouldn't be able to have that stuff if I didn't have sponsors and stuff sending me equipment to play with. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Go to the 99 cent store. You can get a flashlight. Even with smartphones, some of those apps, you can get
Absolutely.
A voice recorder app right there. You can get all kinds of little tools that you can download. I know a lot of people like the Ghost Radars and think they're all neat, but I don't really use that because I don't really have any need for that. But for recording purposes and photos, I mean, your phone works great for that.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people just want to disregard using your cell phone. But my thoughts on that is if a spirit is able to turn a flashlight on and off, then that is an electronic device. Why in the world would they not be able to manipulate your phone in some way to communicate through that as well? So I know there's a lot of cheesy apps. There are a couple that I like, that I have found some validation that the answers and responses definitely tied to the location. So those are always fun. There's Ghost Hunters M2. It's kind of a one and all. It shows, you know, energies. You'll be able to see them. You'll hear them. But it's kind of a fun little app to play with.
Yeah,
but the phone's
cool.
A great. I love it. And I take pictures on my phone all the time and all of that. Yes, heck yes.
Well, I always come across these people who are doing an investigation. Well, I didn't bring any voice recorder. It's like, you have a phone? I mean, that records all day long. and it works great.
And it's in HD. You know, all the iPhones
yep.
are very high def. So it's good video.
Exactly. I think some of the higher end iPhones, they think they're shooting 4K or something ridiculous. It's like, really? You might as well make movies on it. And I've seen videos where people are just doing exactly that. It's incredible.
Yeah. I still have an older phone, and so I want to get one of the new iPhones that has that really cool camera on it. And I don't know, just, yeah, the cell phones are great to carry around in your pocket.
Absolutely.
What's your favorite piece of equipment to use?
My favorite piece of equipment to use, that's tough, especially since my sponsors are all listening. They're like, what's he going to say?
Oh, okay, sorry about that. They're all great.
It's okay. I go for a couple of things. I do use a light meter called a periscope. Jeremy Jones from Pernology has made it for me. And it pretty much lights up, but you can use it as a direction tool. You can use it as a yes and no tool. And it just tells you the strength of the energy that comes into the an area.
You know what?
One of the things I talk about when I'm doing the shows and stuff is I use these meters, and the meters are not a definite sign of a ghost. I can't say that it is. But what's great about the meters is when something's happening, it tells me something's going on over here. All of a sudden, there was nothing happening. All of a sudden, something's changed over here. So it gives you a chance to really focus on it. I like using the basic digital recorders, the old Olympus and stuff. Those are great recorders for using. And my camera. Yeah. Simple stuff.
Absolutely. And you get the best stuff on there, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. I don't have to have any special type of cameras. I mean, I do have the full spectrum, the night vision for doing stuff, but some of my simple point-and-shoot stuff comes out incredible. So I'm not going to deviate from that.
No, I mean, you know, why change it if it's working? It's good. I actually am really, really good friends with Jeremy, who makes all of the Pernology stuff.
Yeah.
And I love the Periscope, the 360. Any of his, you know, the things I like about Jeremy is his very bright and it's sensitive. It's a great, great product for sure.
Yep. And it's simple to use. This is something interesting since you know Jeremy. So I have the Periscope 360.
Uh-huh.
And me and Patty Negree, who does a bunch of seances and stuff with me, she was doing her seance at this haunted theater recently that we're doing for a full moon televised thing. And the 360 periscope on the table in front of us started talking. Now, if you know the 360 periscope, there's no speaker and there's no microphone.
No.
So there's only light chips in there and the light crystals that light up the pot. I mean, that's it. So
right. We
were able to record the 360 talking, and it was not just one voice. It was two voices coming from the periscope.
What?
Yeah. It was really strange. It was really strange. So my tech manager was sitting across from me, and I heard a voice come from that direction, and it came in between us, and we kept hearing it. I'm like, what the hell is that? Where is that coming from? And then the girl sitting next to him says, it's coming from this light thing. And sure enough, we put the camera on it and zoomed in and we increased the recording. And it was talking, two voices talking. And they were repeating what we were trying to tell them about using energy to utilize the equipment.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is awesome.
So if yours starts talking, let me know. I'm trying to find out what happened.
I'm gonna start talking to it, you know. Wow, yeah. We are headed to St. Augustine, Florida next week for a whole 7-day haunted road trip. We're gonna stay in all the haunted hotels and so definitely the 360 will be a part of that. And if it starts talking, I'm calling you and saying, look, this thing is talking. What is that? Yeah.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
And it was like two little spirits having a conversation about what we were trying to tell them. They were trying to tell each other what we were saying. We're saying, use the energy, that way you can light up the lights. And they're all, use the energy? Use the energy. And they were like, what? So cool.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Absolutely. So after you started doing the ghost hunting and started getting out there and seeing what was happening, you came across Goatman Bridge, obviously, because you've done a lot of work with that, and you were hosting the Goatman Bridge ghost tours. So tell us about Goatman Bridge. How did you get involved with that?
Oh, my gosh. It's extremely haunted. I mean, there's just no getting around that for sure. But I actually, living here in Lake Dallas, I had heard nothing of this bridge until somebody one day, nobody really knew still that I was doing ghost hunting and all of the things that I was doing private. And somebody said to me, have you ever been out to Goatman's Bridge? And I'm like, where is that? And literally it was like 10 minutes from where I lived. So I'm like, oh, hell yes, I've got to go down there and check that out. So sure enough, I go down there and take a recorder with me, and I'm just walking because I at this point, I know nothing. All I know is this is supposed to be a haunted bridge. So I just start walking through the woods and asking questions. And then when I get home, it was like, I don't know, Stefan, just like voice after voice and different voices answering my questions. So I am now I'm intrigued because it's not just one spirit down there. It is several. It's a lot. So then I just started going down there more and more and more and taking people with me, some of my close friends. It's like, you guys, we got to find out what's going on down here. And then all the stuff, the scary stuff with the goat man, you know, what's that about? So, man, I just dove in and tried to research and go to the Historical Society and found out about the old town that used to be there. And then it's very dark. There's a lot of satanic stuff that goes on, excuse me, down at that bridge, even today.
Mm-hmm.
Even as recent as, you know, a couple of months ago when we did a tour, it was, you know, we see candles burning in wax everywhere and, you know, crazy stuff like that. So it really was by accident that I found it. And then it just got to be where I was going down there every weekend because I was just kind of fascinated with the activity. I mean, I was touched and I could hear growling and it was just unbelievable. So it just kind of developed where more and more people wanted to come and go with me. So I'm like, you know what? I think I'm just going to do a tour here. There's so much interest right now, and it was great. So that's how the tour came about.
And you're still doing the tour?
There? COVID, we've kind of put it on hold.
Oh, yeah.
We did one a couple months ago, and we limited, you know, our group to like 10 so we could, even though it's outdoors, we still were just feeling, you know, let's be safe. But the numbers have just gone up so much here in Texas that it's just been put on hold.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to get out there.
Yeah.
And I heard you mention that your son lives in the area. So have you gone out to the bridge?
Yeah, my son lives right outside of Austin. And him and his friends talk about Goatman Bridge. I knew about it, of course. I've seen Zach and the guys' stuff on it. What was really interesting, though, is my daughter-in-law's brother, one of the older brothers, and he was telling me about the bridge and that him and his friends have been out there. And he said it's a really dark place, because when I met them, they knew I was doing the paranormal stuff, so they always want to bring it up to me. But very dark, a lot of devil worship, so to speak. A lot of conjuring has happened there. Murders and stuff. And they had, and what's interesting is he told me that his group of friends at the time were going out there and they were doing rituals. out there. Oh, wow. Yes, and they made contact with a demon that hangs out at the bridge.
Yeah, there is a lot of things out there. There is a lot of non-human spirits or entities, if you want to call them. Definitely, boy, it's beautiful in the evenings. If you go to the bridge during the day, you would have no idea what happens when the sun sets. It's really very scenic, picturesque. You know, people get married out at the bridge.
Really?
People's always... Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How romantic is that?
Absolutely. Nothing like taking a demon home for your honeymoon. I mean, come on
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Seriously.
But weddings, a lot of the local high schools will take the seniors out for pictures. I mean, it's very pretty during the day, but when the night comes, it's different. I mean, almost, I dare say, every tour. And my job on my tour is not to make people believe in ghosts, because to me, that's your own personal choice. I'm not here to make you believe in ghosts, but I'm hoping to open up your mind to new experiences and pay attention when you get signs. And almost every single tour, either someone has to leave the tour because they're sick, they're physically sick, or they're scared, or they've had their own personal experience that they're just done. I mean, it's just very common that we have to have one of our tour guides, you know, walk them back to the car. It's definitely, there's been conjuring. It's a very dangerous place to do that. I didn't like it with Ghost Adventures did it. I threw a big old fit. I'm like, you know, that here is, you know, it's just not the place to do that. You're going to do this, and then, you know, you're going to hop on your bus and go back to Vegas, and we're stuck with this thing, this ancient thing that you've called in. It's just not a good idea. And it didn't go well. It didn't go well at all.
Huh. Yeah. You got to be cautious about that kind of stuff. Even when those guys were filming out there, Billy didn't like being there, so that's kind of a clue to be cautious. But yeah, they do kind of rile things up and get it all active and then take off. I totally agree that you got to be careful with that.
Yeah, and their poor little photographer, Ashley, she was the still photographer, you know, and she actually, I think, was had a possession with one of the really bad spirits that we encountered, that what we call him Steve. We believe he was an actual person that was the Grand Dragon of the KKK at one point. And man,
what was his name?
This poor...
That's the demon they said they made contact with.
Oh Lord, no way.
Yeah, they said he's a spider demon of some kind. And you have to do some ritual where you're actually sacrificing so many spiders with the intent of conjuring him.
Wow,
I probably shouldn't be saying that. People are going to be going out there trying to cut spiders now. But, yeah, I heard that. And
oh,
I'm
my
like,
God. Well, there's a lot of spiders out there. Layla, one of the other tour guides, bless her heart, she has to fight through the spiders every time, you know, because they're all up in the trees and she hates them. And, yeah, but I have not heard that. The research I did on Steve was, man, Stefan, he is like the nastiest person you would ever want to meet in your life. I mean, you can look it up. He's done so much bad stuff in his life, had four wives, you know, rape and murder, and all of this is attached to him. But, yeah, you got to be careful. When he's present, you will not communicate with any other people. He is very dominant of that space.
Hmm. Yeah, that's everybody's always mentioning him.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it. So how is he related to the goat man?
A lot of people get confused because there is the legend of goat man, which comes from a long time ago from Conjuring. That there was a live radio, right? My dog.
Yeah, I was like, what was that? Did you hear that? Someone's trying to make contact with us.
And my dog's name is Cassius. Hey, knock it off. Anyway, so there is a gentleman that used to be one of the townspeople named Oscar, and he was an African-American goat farmer. So mm-hmm. a lot of the lore comes that, you know, the KKK hung him from the bridge and just left him there. And then all of the devil-worshipping stuff started. So, you know, the rumor or legend is that, you know, the devil worshippers conjured up a sayer, which is half man, half goat, and that's how he came to be in the forest. But it is not Oscar. I mean, I want to make that clear for people who are listening. Oscar is a spirit that you communicate, but he is just, he's a very gentle spirit, and he is, we believe, that the gentleman that sold goats at one time there. Now, the sayer, the half-man, half-goat creature, I have seen once. It's scary as hell, and I do believe that it exists out there, but it is, there's two different things, but I do believe it was conjured and brought to the area for who knows what purpose, but it wasn't good.
Hmm.
But we have good people there, too.
What's that?
I said we have good people there, too. We what we call travelers. We, when you get EVPs from all the different voices, we just feel that it's travelers across the bridge that came across, you know, back in the mid-1800s that, you know, are just ill residual energy through there. So we do have some good spirits.
That's good. But the ones that are making their presence known are the bad ones, though. Obviously, that one guy is not the...
Yes.
He thinks he's running the show.
Yes. Yeah, you got to be careful of Steve out there. And again, you know, even to this day, you'll pass the people that go really, really far down into the woods. We don't go past a certain point. We kind of give them their space, and we respect, you know, that that's where they go, and we don't go there. They don't mess with us, and we don't mess with them. But you'll pass them in the full-on black robes. You know, we don't ever make eye contact. It's, you know, no, it's scary. You do not want to follow them and find out what's going on. You cannot let curiosity get the best of you, because it won't be good.
Yeah. That's not the kind of party you want to be hanging out at, so that's for sure.
Hell no. No. Yeah, sit this down.
Yeah. I've seen those movies before, and they don't end good, so I'm not going to...
No.
You know?
No. No. It's, you know, down in that area, unfortunately, a lot of, it sounds weird, but a lot of dog and cats go missing, and you will actually find, you know, dogs and cats along the trail, that, you know, I'm a country girl, so I know about the wildlife, and they're definitely not been attacked by like a wolf or any of that kind of stuff. They're definitely something else has been gone on. Lack of a better description, definitely had been sacrificed for something.
Mm-hmm. How sad.
Yes, it is. It's very sad.
So when you go out on these ghost tours and you set this stuff up, because of the negative aggressors there, and it sounds like there's only a few of them, but they seem pretty intense. Do you do any kind of protection or anything to keep their energy from affecting you?
Absolutely. We do a protection for the group at the end of every single tour. And it's kind of mandatory. I don't care what religion you are. It's not about what you believe. It's about attachments, because mm-hmm. you can definitely take home an attachment. I've experienced it. It's not pleasant. So we definitely do a protection prayer at the end of each tour group. And, you know, just ask that the spirits, whether they've shown themselves in photos or videos, that they are to stay there and not follow anyone home. We have an old, right after Ghost Adventures was filming, we all of a sudden had this big, crazy-looking altar show up. One of the girls on the tour told me that she had seen that before because her mother was a Wiccan, and that it was definitely used to summon something. She didn't say like a person. She said definitely like an animal would have been sacrificed, you know, for something bad. But we had that show up, and we toured, you know, like every single day during October when everybody's, you know, wants to be scary and spooky. But one of our caveats was, you know, don't touch it because, like you, I'm sure know, you know, you can transfer energy and it will become an attachment. So we wouldn't let anyone touch the altar, take all the pictures and stuff. But it was, no, it definitely was something you didn't want any part of. And we had one young man, probably 16 or 17, that just didn't care. He was young. And he just jumped in there and he grabbed, you know, a bunch of the twigs and stuff from the altar. And I was like,
a genius, oh my God.
Yeah. And the kid had a wreck going home that night. Totaled his car.
Yeah.
So, you know, hard lessons to learn. But the stuff that you hear about attachments and touching different objects, it's a real deal. So definitely we do a protection prayer as a group, and then we ask that each individual do their own when they get in their car, you know, because some people are a little embarrassed, you know, to do it. So it's like, you know, I'm going to do one for you, but then when you get in your car, you know, do another one. So definitely we do try to protect, you know, any of our guests.
Good, good. And you do warn them that it can get pretty crazy, but,
yeah.
You know, people, that's what people go there for. People want to be, you know, trippy environment that's kind of scary, you know. They want that thrill. So
of course, it
makes sense to me.
And I get it, you know. Who doesn't want to go to like a super creepy place and, you know, have something happen? But myself, I can deal with any dead bad guys, murderers, but demons are another story. And I think you have to be a clergyman or someone like that, very, very spiritual person to deal with that and be able to protect yourself and others. So you got to be really careful when you got that stuff going on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can't count on anything. You can't go into an investigation in a place like that thinking you're fully prepared, because you're not. No matter how much you think you are, you're going into a unknown environment. The conditions could be different the last time you were there, and something different can happen at any time. So you have to be prepared for any situation and go with whatever direction it's going in, you know. You can't go out there blindly. You can't go out there messing around and disrespecting, because once you start disrespecting that energy, it's gonna strike back.
Oh no, that is like the worst thing. I literally saw a bunch of the young kids come out, girlfriends, and, you know, it's a local hangout and stuff on Saturday nights and things. Maybe not now with COVID, but there was one summer that I saw a group of kids bring a Ouija board on the bridge, and I tried to warn them, please don't do that on the bridge. This is not going to go well. Please don't do that, especially we've got the tour here. And, you know, when you're 16 and 17, you know everything. So they were like, you know, we don't care what you say, we're going to do it anyway. So they were being very, very disrespectful, and one of the kids stuck a beer can in the middle of this Ouija board. And honest to God, I saw they were like, you know, oh, if you're here, do something. You know, we're not scared of you, and you know, blah, 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 blah. And they were just really getting nasty. And all of a sudden, the Ouija board just started shaking, and the beer can just sitting in the middle just starts shaking violently and literally just flies off. It was unbelievable. The kids left the Ouija board and everything there. They booked it. That is it.
Yeah. Well, they asked for contact, and there it was.
Craziness. Crazy.
Got to be careful what you ask for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's the, as far as that goes, what is the craziest thing that's happened to you out at the bridge?
Well, at the bridge, we've, you know, scratches are very common. Unfortunately, most of the time it's the ladies that get scratched. We've had scratches. As far as me, one night we were doing just a little private thing. We were setting up on the bridge. We actually put a ball in the center of the bridge because there is a little girl spirit there named Rebecca. And we had asked Rebecca to play with the ball. We actually captured video and audio of her saying, "We want to play," and the ball just rolls down the bridge. So that was actually used on one of the shows. I can't remember which one now. My ghost stories, I don't know. There's been a few. After that, we're packing up, and so we're just doing a quick EVP thing or whatever. Suddenly, all the communication we'd be getting stopped. And I'm sitting on the bridge, and I have a little speaker on my leg, and we realize that we're communicating with Steve. And I say something like, I say, "Steve, I know what you did," because even in his 70s, he raped a young school teacher in one of the schools locally. And
wow.
I say, I know what you did to that young girl. And then we just hear, "Can I cuss on this show or not?" Oh, hell, let me say the B word. I got called the B word. And this just like giant hand, I don't know how to say it any different, grabbed my leg so hard. It was like him in my face. You know what I mean? Like I'm sitting down on the bridge and like he was, this is just what in my mind. He's leaning over and he's grabbing my leg and squeezing it. And then you hear the word B come on the spirit box. I jumped up and I literally had fingerprints on my legs. It was
wow.
insane. So that scared me pretty bad. And so now, you know, when he's around, we just shut down communication because it's just too dangerous. It's just too, you've really got to be careful. I know I keep saying that, but I mean it. You really do.
You got to be careful when you're out there, and you know, you can't let your guard down. The second you let your guard down, feel too comfortable, then you're at risk.
Absolutely.
Those of you listening out there, listening to My Darkest Hour, we've been talking with Becky Vickers from BecksGhostHunters.com. I definitely recommend you guys checking it out. So you can see a bunch of the photographs that we've been talking about from the Gutman Bridge. And let's talk about the book. I believe you have a book about the Gutman Bridge as well.
Yes, let's talk about the book.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Cool cover, too.
Thank you. I finally, you know, it took about 5 years to write that book. I don't know if that's long, but for my first or second book, it was a long process. I, you know, going to the library and again trying to find deeds and records and validation and try to decipher what is folklore and what actually was real. The one thing about the book is I try to put about, try to let people know about the history. There actually was a town at one point. It is no longer there. There's no remnants of it. There's nothing. But I try to put a lot of pictures in the book so people will see what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the shadows and the shadow figures and massive, massive snakes, unusual amount of snakes, which a lot of people refer because it's a serpent, has to do with the devil. So, oh my gosh, you got to be really cautious of where you step. But so I try to put pictures in there that will give people a heads up. If you're going to this location, here's what you need to know. I try to tell them how to communicate with some of the spirits that we talk to and communicate regularly. You know, how they show themselves, how you'll know that they're present. Anyway, it was a fun book to write. There is a very graphic chapter, and I tried to put a warning. You know, if it's a young reader, you know, just be really cautious when I'm talking about Steve, the Grand Dragon, because I do go into a lot of detail of some of the really horrific things that the man had done in his past. But You know, it's a fun read. It's an easy read. I like to see pictures, and so I'm a very visual person. So I try to do a lot of the Steve. This is we think he caught. We caught him in this picture and stuff like that. But yeah, you guys check it out. You can get it on Amazon. It came out. It was a number one bestseller, so I'm excited about that. But yeah, it's a fun book and scary all at the same time.
Excellent. And for those of you listening, I did put the link up on the webpage and for the event page for those who want to link to it and check it out. Definitely for those who are interested in going to check out Goatman Bridge, you might as well start by getting this book and learning a little bit more about it. That way you can get the full experience of being there. So, and you probably want to make a tour. So make sure you get on her waiting list for when it opens back up that she can give you the full tour of the bridge itself and tell you about her personal stories. That sounds great.
Oh, thank you for that. Yes, please go get the book. And we're hoping to start the tours up maybe next month. You know, again, with COVID, the numbers being super high, and we've really got to be safe about that. But, yeah, any of your listeners, if you come and you listen to the show, let me know, and we'll give you a discount. We'll give you a discount for listening to My Darkest Hour, and it'll be fun. And you need to come to Texas next time you're in Austin, and we'll go out there and show you all the crazy hot spots where all the creepy stuff happens.
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm going to be coming out there this year because I believe there's a Texas Paracon that might happen. It's on the books. Hopefully that'll happen this year. So I was thinking about that. I should have a few days out there, so I'd like to go take a walk at Goatman Bridge myself and, you know, just get some of the experience. That'd be great.
Yes. Come on down. We'll show you where, you know, oh, my gosh, we'll show you where we believe that the half man and half goat was actually conjured up. You know, we've had mediums with us that told us different things. Where children have gone missing. Teenagers have gone missing, where there's been bodies. I mean, again, this bridge has so much darkness. That would be another reason to read the book, because then you'll be aware of what you might encounter, because I do try to tell, you know, some of the things that's happened to us out there along the way and to others. So, come out and we'll take you, and we're not conjuring anything. So let's be clear on that.
Don't conjure any goat, man.
Yes, tell your son's friends, no, not with me next time or something.
That's funny. So so if the goat man was conjured out there out of some kind of ritual, was it some kind of demonic entity or something? I mean, how did that come about? Something created it, so to speak?
Yes. It would have just been created from the folklore, from Oscar actually being a living person, and, you know, what happened, the tragic, you know, end to his life with hanging from the bridge. So they took that part and conjured it and made this sayer or satire, however it's pronounced. People pronounce it differently. But it's a mythical creature of half man and half goat. It's very sexual creature. It did a lot, you know, if you read about it, it has, modern day party animal per se, just very wild, drunken, you know, abusive to women. And that's one reason I really feel like the ladies are the targets a lot of time of the activity out there and the scratches and the growling and, you know, inappropriate touching and things like that is because I do believe there is a sayer here. And it was just conjured from legend.
Yeah. I totally believe in that. You put enough energy and thought into something and it can become a living, conscious entity.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes.
Even something as simple as Slender Man. We've all heard the story behind Slender Man, and Slender Man was some internet sensation. Some guy created this as an urban legend of some creature they kind of put together. But the thought of it took off so much, and so many people believed in it, and so much energy was put in behind it. you're getting all these random sightings of Slender Man all over the world now. So it's like, okay, did it come to life now? I mean, what can happen with that? Because I believe it can happen.
I know. I agree. It's all about intent, right? A lot of times we talk about, you know, don't tug. On the tours, you know, we showed them where the altar was and different things, and we all talk about the intent. It's all about the intention and the energy. Was it intended for something good, or was it intended for something bad? And if you don't know, you have to err on the side of something bad. So just use extra caution. But, yeah, I agree. The more you talk about it, makes it right, so, right? It's kind of like, it's just, I don't know. I agree with you 100%. It's like all of a sudden now you see Slender Man everywhere. It's like, what happened?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah, and anything, any urban legend, you put enough thought behind it, it just comes to life. And it's interesting because people have these experiences, but these great old urban legends that you hear about just seem to come to life. The story lives on.
That's right. It's like, had anyone ever told me about the goat man, and I would be blowing that off so big time, saying, whatever. I'm not sure I really buy into that. But I've actually seen him one time, like literally walk up on the bridge to the end of the bridge where we had a small private tour of about five people. So it was witnessed by five different people that we saw this creature come from the woods, had the top part was a goat head and the bottom was like a sheet. It sounds weird and it sounds like somebody could have been that covered in a sheet, but it was different. It never made a sound. It just stared and just walked back into the woods. It was like, it was creepy. It was just creepy as hell. I don't know. It was crazy. But I do believe it's all about the intention, and somebody intended to bring that to life, to summon it there to, you know, wreak havoc. I don't know its purpose to be there, but I do believe it is there.
Wow. That's an incredible story. Too bad you can't see it multiple times and become friends with it and have it come out when it, like, you give them the tours. That'd be great.
And now,
but, at least you got to experience it. At least you know, it's like, okay, so something's happening here. There he is. Okay. So that's awesome.
That's over like a 30-year period. You know, that was a while back. But it did happen. I mean, I can honestly say that there were five witnesses to that. That everybody was starting to freak out, and I'm like, don't react. You know, and I'm saying, can I help you? Is there something you need? And it's just standing at the end of the bridge, just in complete silence with this, you know, giant horns over its head facing, you know, outward. More like a ram's head, I guess, is to say, than a goat. Huge, huge horns, and we didn't see the feet. So, you know, everybody always says, did it have hooves? We never saw anything, but did it? I can honestly say that it almost floated away. It was, I don't want to see it again.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty intense.
It's intense.
But that's why they call it Goatman Bridge, because he's there, hanging out. So, all right on.
If you go, you're bound to have an experience. Yeah, one way or another.
Oh, I hope
again,
so.
We do. Yeah, take your voice recorders, take a ton of pictures. We get lots of mist. There is actually this green mist that shows up every now and then, and different people have caught it. We have no idea what that is, but it's very bright. It's a bright mist, and I don't know what that is, but I know I love it when I catch it. When I get a photo of it, it's like, oh my God, I got the mist. That's awesome.
I wonder what it is, but that's got to be just like some kind of spirit moving around.
Definitely, I think it is. I just don't know what it is. Why it's super bright green, but it is.
Wow. Well, all right, we only have a few minutes left, so an hour goes by pretty quick. For those who want to reach out to you and find a little bit more about what you got going on, how will they be able to get a hold of you?
Oh, please. I'm on all the social media sites under Becky Vickers or Beck's Ghost Hunters. We do a lot of public events where people can come and go with us and have their own personal experiences. But Facebook and all of those sort social media sites, you know, please reach out there, say hi. Of course, you can tell I'm from Texas, so I love to chat and talk. And, of course, on my site, BexGhostHunters.com, go on there, message me, ask anything. You know, yeah, look me up. It's fun.
Excellent. All righty. Well, thank you for spending the time with us and educating us a little bit more on the Goatman Bridge, because that's fascinating. Such a great place to go to. And I'm real excited about getting out there and doing some exploring myself. So that'd be great. Yeah. And I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to get your book too, so I can study up on it. So I'll be ready.
Well, I'll send you a free copy. How about that? Then you can read it and you'll know what you're walking into.
Awesome. I would love that. I mean, I'd be, what's that?
Oh, I just was going to say thank you for having me on the show. I've really had a good time and really love talking with you and talking about the bridge. And of course, I can talk paranormal for hours. But, yeah, I'll send you a copy of the book, and you can read it and see what you think.
Excellent. I'll be looking forward to that. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Well, excellent. And that has been the show for tonight. You've been listening to My Darkest Hour. My guest tonight has been Becky Vickers. Reach out to her. You can go to BexGhostHunters.com, see what she has to offer out there. There's lots of pictures. There's some video. It's a great spot for reference material. There's a dictionary of ghost terms and other random things that you can dig into and spend some time having some fun. On her page, go ahead and go to Amazon, get the book, educate yourself on the Goatman Bridge, because it's an absolutely fascinating place. And we will keep an eye out for more things to come from Becky, and we will have her come back on the show in a little while. So thanks to all of you for listening. Thank you to my sponsors, Paranormal Technologies, Lizzie Woody's Crafty Creation, Chili Man Salsa Company, Daniel's Toy Empire. And I want to say thanks to everybody at Live Paranormal. And also, I want to mention that my show for Paraflix will be streaming starting at the end of March. Keep an eye out for that. It is My Darkest Hour, Paranormal Adventures with Stefan Brigati, streaming to you live from Paraflix. So, with that being said, if you guys are going to go out there and go investigating, make sure you go out there. Be safe, stay hydrated, don't let yourself get worn out. A lot of those places, the energy will rob that from you. So make sure you guys investigate safe, all right? And when you go out investigating, make sure you safe distance yourself. Nobody needs to bring home anything else, of course. So with that being said, we will see you guys next week right here on My Dark Star Radio. I am your host, Stefan Brigati, and we will see you all next week.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox Sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli,
and you are listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.